Welcome to The Consult Room, the podcast that celebrates pets and people. I'm Dr. Paul Mangtalo. I'm a veterinary surgeon with a passion for the rich insights and stories about pets in the modern world that we live. Whether you're a pet owner, a pet professional, or you just love hearing about pets, then this is the space for you. Imagine a service where you could lend out your dog for the day, giving someone the gift of a dog's company without them having the full commitment of dog ownership, but giving you free regular dog care with someone you know and trust. But even more important, it gives your dog a whole new world of experience. Well, this does actually exist. It's a service called Borrow My Doggy, and something I am personally very familiar with as I use it a lot with my dog, Rodney. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by the founder of Borrow My Doggy, Ricky Rosenlund. Ricky, welcome to the consult room.
Thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me.
So I love this service. So and actually, a lot of people have been asking me questions about it because I referred to it in a previous podcast. But I just want to know, so where did the idea come from for Borrow My Doggy? It's such a great idea, but where did it come from?
So this is about 10 years ago. I borrowed a very cute brown Labrador called Eston, and we spent the entire day together. And I just remember thinking, why are people spending so much money on dog walkers or kennels or leaving their dog home alone when I would love to take care of a dog for free? And I thought there should be a website connecting people like me with local dog owners, because obviously everyone benefits. As you mentioned, you know, owners get help with taking care of their dogs. Borrowers, we get that happy dog time without the full-time commitment. And dogs are really the biggest winners because they get more walks and love and attention and ear ruffles, as we say.
So that's really interesting, because you have founded this company from the angle of, I don't have a dog, but I really want to experience the joy of having a dog. So can I just ask the question of, why did you not just get a dog?
A very good question. It is a lot of time commitment to have a dog, and I also travel a lot. So I didn't feel that it would be the right thing for me to be a dog owner. Later on in life, yes, but at this point, no. And then I love how dogs connect people. You know, the fact that we have so many stories of people becoming, you know, friends locally, at borrowers getting more exercise and learn what it means to have a dog before they jump into the full-time responsibility of having one. And so I just feel that we could do so much good by starting a company like Borrow My Doggy. To begin with, it was just a little idea. Told one of my friends about it. And he said to me that I think it's about 90% of startup companies that go bust within 10 years. I think 60 to 70% within 3 to 4 years. So he said to me, before you quit your full-time job in corporate, why don't you go and test idea? And so I went to this startup weekend where we built a landing page in a couple of hours, just to test if anyone wanted to sign up to something like Borrow My Doggy. And the most amazing thing happened, which was we had 85 people signed up in 3 days. And we asked this beautiful question, why, when people signed up, like, why had they signed up to Borrow My Doggy? And what we found was, you know, there was an elderly man in Cornwall who just had an operation and he needed help with taking his dog for long walks. There was lots of students and young professionals missing their dogs at home, so they wanted to borrow one. And then there was a family with a little girl who was begging for a dog, but she was still scared of them. So the family didn't want to get a dog to maybe have to give it up. And when I read that, I literally started crying, and I thought, oh my gosh, not another little girl without a dog, because I spent a childhood begging for a dog. And my parents are entrepreneurs. They travel a lot. They work long hours. My mom is allergic to dogs. Like, they had all the reasons in the world not to have a dog. And I thought, actually, you know what? Maybe people don't all have to own a dog. Maybe there is kind of a way in between that, you know, people can get happy dog ownership, but owners, you know, like the elderly man, or, you know, there's so many people for various reasons who need, you know, help with getting their dog socialized, or they, people need to go to work, or they have a dinner night out. And so it was like, why don't we just all help each other and everyone benefits, especially dogs?
Do you know, it's really interesting what you said there, because I think you set up Borrow My Doggy in 2012, was it? Yeah. Yes. So it's really interesting because I, around that same time, had a dog, but I just got a promotion at work and I was kind of traveling a lot with work. So mm-hmm. instead of, you know, being home-based 7 days a week, I was on the road 2-3 days a week. And my dog at the time, Dolly, was a really lovely rescue dog, a Staffy Cross, and really lovely, really good with people. But I was in that situation where I used to share her with friends that live down the road. So we did kind of 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off, which was, for me, was great because, you know, again, you had all the joy of having a dog without, you know, the full responsibility. But when I got this dog traveling, I remember how do I, you know, find local people that could maybe just take her for the day? And, you know, people like you say that may not want a dog full time or may have lost a dog or lost a partner mm-hmm. and are looking for, you know, a bit of companionship. So it was really interesting because maybe, you know, I could have set the business up from the other side as a dog owner going, please. But yes. You know what? At the time, I thought I feel like this would be really cheeky, you know, asking somebody to take my dog for the day. But I thought, God, there must be people that want a dog for the day. And I know when I was at university, I would have loved to have, you know, take a dog for a walk because I grew up with dogs, but, you know, I didn't have a dog for 5 years at university. So that's really interesting that around the same time we were having kind of the same idea. But I'm so glad you did it because I wouldn't have been able to do it.
One of our first people who signed up. So to begin with, you know, that we didn't build any kind of infrastructure behind where people found matches. So I manually matched everyone to begin with. And I remember one of the first kind of couples I went over to, it was a woman who just had a baby. And then she was lending out her dogs to a family across the street that had like a 5-year-old son who was begging for a dog. And it was interesting because I followed obviously a lot of our early members because I went to the houses and we became friends, etc. So it's very interesting to see because it starts with the dog because people live across the street from each other. They are helping each other even by getting some happy dog time or getting that dog taken care of. But often what we see is people end up becoming really close friends. So these two ladies, they have now one moved out of London, but they still go and visit each other for weekends. So the person who initially had one kid had another kid afterwards and obviously, you know, continuously needed help. And so the other family ended up never getting a dog, but, you know, they were just very happy lending it or borrowing a dog. So it's just really lovely to see kind of the relationships that get built, you know, as a result of the shared love of dogs on the platform.
Yeah, it's great. And there is definitely that sense of community, which mm-hmm. is, you know, with its roots in and its foundations in the dog being at the center of that, isn't it? But I think we're going to come on to some stories later. And I definitely want to share some of my personal experiences because Rodney's had 3 regular borrow my doggies, you know, since I've had him. And it has been, you know, really, really good to meet these people in my local community. But so let me just go back. So you mentioned there that initially you set up, you know, like a pilot, if you like, and you had a lot of people who wanted dogs. But then how did you then connect with kind of dog owners? Because I guess, you know, the dogs are fundamental, aren't they, to this? You need to have some dogs in the system. So how did you first of all connect with them, and second of all kind of almost convince them that this was a you know, a safe thing to do to give their dog to somebody for the day? Because you know, especially I know we've just been through the pandemic and a lot of people obviously there was a rise in dog thefts, you know, due to a rise and a surge in demand for dogs. So when I've mentioned this, you know, recently to people, like, oh my gosh, you know, how can you trust them? So talk to me about how you connect and gain the trust of dog owners.
So since the beginning, or at the very beginning, I think the first 100 matches, I went to people's houses and I got to know them. And I said, and I told them about this person I thought would be a good match for them. And I asked them, you know, what would make you kind of trust someone? You know, how would you like to meet them? You know, is it for a walk in the local park, et cetera? And obviously everyone is very different. So, but by getting to meet both parties to begin with, you know, you build a relationship with the individual. So that was very nice. And then also what I quickly realize that actually is very similar in some ways to when you have kids. So, you wouldn't just allow your kid to go and stay over at somebody else's house. You probably want to, especially when they're smaller, you want to go and meet the parents. And then once you meet the parents, you know, relationships are formed, et cetera. So for me, what I thought was literally we can do safety checks as we do verification of all of our members. We have everyone covered by insurance. Everyone has access to a 24/7 vet line, et cetera. So all that is covered. But for me, one of the really big things is like people meet and greet. They get to know each other. It's people living in the same neighborhood. Often they will do house visits. And, you know, like one of the very first matches I did with the two ladies I told about before, they literally lived across the street from each other. They just hadn't spoken before. So it's people in your local neighborhood. You meet them, you get to know them. And as a lot of dog owners even said to me, they can see if the dogs like the boars, like they will meet up with them, but the boar will also spend time with the dog. And then sometimes people meet up, you know, three times. Sometimes people click immediately, like everyone is different. And it's not up to us to prescribe over how many times people should meet. It's up to people to like figure out like what are they comfortable with, and you know, is it a good person for that they have met up with for them and their dog or not. So I said, like, we meet people in all other parts of our lives, so this is just another way, and it's people who just want to have some happy dog time. So it I think it's just so lovely, like the way people meet on Borrow My Doggy.
So how does this, you've mentioned you kind of logistics of meeting and gaining trust, but how does the service actually work then? So if I was sitting here listening to this and saying, right, I've got a dog who I want to enroll in the scheme or the service, or I want to borrow a dog, how does the service work? What do you do?
So people go to Borrow My Doggy, so it's borrowmydoggy.com, and then they will sign up. And as part of that, they create a profile. They will write a little bit about themselves or their dog. And they also like the descriptions, and they upload photos. They write about their availability, etc. And then from there, once you've created a profile, then you can search for members, first and foremost, based on your postcode. So we have different distance filters. You can also search for, you know, lots of other things like the size of the dog, etc. And then once people have found someone they like, they will reach out to them, send a message, and then they meet and greet, just like you do with a dog sitter or a babysitter. And as part of it too, there is an annual subscription. So people who borrow a dog, they pay $12.99 per year. So it's about £1 per month. And people who own a dog, they pay $44.99 per year. So it's less than £4 per month. And I said, all of this includes verification, insurance, and everyone, even the dog owner, can use our 24/7 vet line.
And what does the insurance cover you for?
So it is both third-party liability insurance, but also we have emergency vet cover. And just in case, you know, like anyone has any concerns and they want to go to a vet. So,
I mean, you mentioned there that the cost to a dog owner is about £45 a year, which, you know, from my perspective is hugely great value for money, because it saves me about, you know, £50 a week in dog care when he goes to one of my Borrow My Doggies twice a week. So I do think that's great value. And the fact that you have insurance in there as well is fantastic. So you mentioned there that, we can go in there, you can build a profile, you can say when you're available, you can say, you know, what kind of dog you're looking for. If I was a dog owner now, what kind of dog would be suitable for this sort of service?
I really think most dogs fit really well in Borrow My Doggy. Obviously, each dog is different, so it's up for the dog owner to meet with the local borrowers and find out if they are suitable for their dog. And that's why it's so important to have a meet and agree. I mean, some dogs are super active, and some of our borrowers want to have a running companion. Obviously, if you're talking about, you know, a very old dog, it might not fit well with somebody who's looking to, you know, run, you know, 5 or 7 kilometers with a dog whenever they borrow it. So in that way, you know, obviously read each other's profiles, make sure that there is, you know, a match after what you as a dog owner is looking for, but also what fits well with the borrowers.
Yeah, so I, when I started with the scheme, because I don't have children, I really wanted Rodney to be well socialized with children. And it was interesting because when I put him up, his profile up, I was mainly contacted by families who didn't have a dog but wanted their kids to experience for all the reasons that we've talked about. So he goes to a lady down the road who has twins, and he's been going there for two years, and they absolutely adore him. Now, because they travel a lot in the school holidays, because they are from abroad, they didn't want to commit having a dog full time. But when they're here, they absolutely love having him. And because he goes there quite regularly, I'm happy for him to stay overnight. He likes to pack a little overnight bag for him, and he absolutely loves it. But another Borrow My Dog he goes to, the little boy was actually really scared of dogs initially, mm-hmm. And wanted, you know, his mum wanted to build his confidence up to the point where now they have naps in an afternoon on the same bean bag, you know, and Rodney absolutely loves going there as well, to the point where if I'm walking past these houses, he puts his brakes on and he stops as if he wants to go and visit them. It was, you know, it's really quite funny. And sometimes I feel like, Rodney, no, we're going this way, and he's like, no, I want to go down here, I want to play with my friends. So it is amazing how they build up those relationships, isn't it?
That's very sweet. Yes, yeah. Very much.
So okay, so we've talked about the service, we've talked about how to set it up, we've talked about the kind of dogs that are suitable for this service, but what about the people? You know, obviously you have a lot of people that sign up that don't have a dog, that want to, you know, want to experience the joy of having a dog. In your experience, are there any particular groups of people that you know, kind of feature very heavily in the service?
I would say that the majority of our borrowers have actually grown up around dogs. So it is people who already, you know, they know what it means to have a dog in their life. Generally, the borrowers tend to be slightly younger than dog owners too. Because there's a lot of people who are thinking about getting a dog and they're just not at the right state of their life right now, just like the couple or the family you were referring to where they have twins. Who knows, maybe on later on in life they actually might be wanting to have a dog on their own, but right now they're just not ready to take that step, and hence this is a great solution for them. We also do have a fair amount of people who borrow dogs who used to have a dog and they've lost their own dog and they're just not ready to get a new one yet. So that I would also say. And yeah, we literally have everything from young professionals to students to lots of families to retired people. You know, we literally have people from the UK. We also have some foreigners. I'm Danish, so but I've lived in London for like the last 15 years. So yeah, I would say we have literally every demographic on our platform.
So how has the service grown in the, 10 to 11 years since it's been founded? Talk me through how it's grown.
Oh, we now have over 1 million members, and we have members in 99% of postcodes in the UK. So we literally have members everywhere. And the main reason for growth is it's been word of mouth. Like, you know, we have so many lovely members who are been very happy to share the, you know, information or word of mouth about Borrow My Doggy. We also do have by now a lot of people who used to be dog borrowers who become dog owners since, which is also really nice to see, because, you know, a lot of people are thinking about getting a dog. And sometimes it's like one part of the couple, like it could be a couple, one part really wants a dog and the other one doesn't. Sometimes people have even been scared about dogs and then they start borrowing one and then they realize, actually, maybe yes, our life is set up to have a dog, or maybe actually, no, we shouldn't have one. There's also a lot of people who change opinions over what dog they want. So people might have a fantasy about one breed and, you know, the caretaking of that dog, and then they start boring it and then they realize that actually this specific dog breed is much more complicated than what people thought, in terms of it maybe need much more exercise. You know, some people want a husky living in London. Generally not the greatest idea, especially if people only have, you know, time to go for 20 minutes walk every day, then, you know, obviously it's, the husky doesn't fit a lifestyle. You know, they need a lot of kind of outdoors running. So it's grown a lot, and we've seen a lot of people, as it becoming borers and then dog owners. We've seen a lot of friendship being built. We've seen a lot of people going through difficult stages of their life. It could be, you know, they've changed jobs, they have perhaps lost a family member, the kids moved away from home. You know, there's so many things in life that can change. So hence where they have, you know, had some help from borers by taking care of dogs. And I said, likewise, borers getting that happy dog time. So we've just seen such a big impact on people's lives, which, and dogs' lives, which I really, really love.
This episode is sponsored by Superdog from Vitabiotics, the UK's number one vitamin company. Like all members of the family, your dog needs a balanced diet that includes a range of vitamins and minerals to stay healthy and full of vitality. Superdog's chewable, tasty braised beef tablets are packed with over 21 nutrients, expertly formulated for your special companion. Superdog's available now at Amazon, Ocado, Paws, Superdrug and Vitabiotics.com. As you were talking now, I was just thinking of, obviously, you know, in the pandemic, there was a real surge in dog ownership, because obviously people's circumstances changed and a lot of people went out and got dogs. But actually, we're now seeing that a lot of dogs are being relinquished, and rehoming and rescue centres are really struggling. But as you were talking there, it really made me think that actually this could be a really good way for people to almost try before you buy. It's not a great phrase, is it? But really, you know, experience a dog and the commitment of having a dog before actually committing into it full time, or even better, not committing to it full time and experiencing the joys of it without having that full responsibility, so you don't put yourself in a position where you may have to give up the dog. So it just made me think, wow, this, we should be flagging people to something like this before they make that big leap.
Yeah, very much so. We do have a lot of members too where they're considering having one, for instance, a family with kids where the kids are begging for a dog. And sometimes what happens is the family will get a dog and then the kids go, actually, no, I don't want to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning to walk dogs. And what we have seen is, you know, some families where the kids afterwards have said, you know, we're much happier just boring. We really don't want the morning walks with the dog, or so where the families have just ended up continuing boring, you know, maybe 2 days a week and then, you know, for holidays. Which I find is great. And then in other situations, the families, you know, end up getting a dog, but everyone is aligned over what the requirements is for everyone. You know, that it's like, as you're saying, it's almost a trial one if people are thinking about getting a dog. So I think it's fantastic where people are not, you know, fully sure if, you know, either what breed to get, but also if a dog will fit in their lifestyle.
Yeah, I think it's got, you know, responsible kind of research and dog ownership all over it, hasn't it? It's fantastic.
Yes. And even the main reasons, you know, at least pre-pandemic, we saw people giving up a dog. A lot of people who are in the same circumstances are also people who sign up to borrow my doggy and where they then end up keeping their dog, which is really lovely.
So you mentioned that you have over 1 million people that signed up to borrow my doggy, which I think is, you know, fantastic. What does the future look like? Are you planning to continue to expand? Do you want to go into different countries? What does the future look like for Borrow My Doggy?
Make as many dogs and people happy as we possibly can. That is the goal. So we are in the UK and we are also in Ireland right now. So what we're doing is obviously trying to grow as much as we can. We get a lot of feedback from our members. So what we do is we try to action based on that feedback and build out the best experience we possibly can to make it as easy as possible for people to meet other people on our platform.
That's great. So, you know, obviously you mentioned there that this is really rooted in kind of connection and, you know, the community around that dog. So Can you tell me some stories? I mean, it feels like you're very close to the people that are using the service as well, especially at the start when you were going around and visiting people's houses. But can you tell me some of the stories of the people that use the service?
Oh, we have so many different stories. You mentioned the pandemic before. So I was on a call with somebody from the tech world the other day, and she actually told me she used Bore My Doggy too. And she said during the pandemic, it was very hard for her to be alone. And then she signed up to Bore My Doggy, and then she ended up borrowing a dog from somebody who lived like a few houses down. And she said it really helped her so much to get through the pandemic living by herself. But then what has ended up happening is the owner really needs a lot of help too. And the two people have become very close friends. So this individual who I spoke with, she is about to go off and get married, I think, in Greece. And the dog owner is going to be one of her bridesmaids. So that's very lovely. And we see a lot of people becoming very close friends like that. We also have a lot of examples of where the people who borrow the dog, it becomes like part of their family. So we've had quite a few dogs being ring carriers at weddings, which I think is absolutely lovely. Another story that I loved was we had an elderly woman. I think she was in her 70s. So she borrowed a dog. She went for a walk on the beach. And because of the dog, she became into a conversation with another person, an elderly man. And they have ended up getting married. So you know how dogs are conversation openers. So it actually, when I borrow a dog, like it helps me so much. But like you speak with people around you that you otherwise wouldn't be speaking with. What else? We just have so many stories. I also very much love where families with kids borrow a dog. We have sometimes kids where they have struggled with anxiety or concentration in school, and where borrowing a dog has really helped them go through some difficult phases. So, I mean, we have everything from NHS doggers recommending Borrow My Doggy for people getting exercise, but also, you know, from mental well-being, you know, it helps a lot on anxiety and being loneliness, etc. So, gosh, we have endless amount of stories. And Borrow My Doggy, we have a Slack channel where the team every day uploads stories that they've heard just to share with the rest of the team. So it's very heartwarming.
Oh, lovely. And it was interesting as you were talking now, I was thinking about how much we use dogs in therapy, you know, to you know, improve people's mental health, well-being, you know. And actually, this is very, you know, easily could be seen how this could be used for people that do need that companionship and you do need to gain that confidence. And I've already described to you one of Rodney's Borrow My Doggies, where the little boy was really, really absolutely terrified of dogs, to the point where I think when we first met, he was okay with Ronnie, because Ronnie was quite small at the time, he was a puppy, but this other dog came running over and wanted to, you know, run around and play with Rodney. And the little boy kind of jumped onto a picnic table and just was really absolutely petrified. But to see him now come to the door and, you know, get really excited to see Rodney, it's really great, isn't it? How they can build confidence and help people.
We get a lot of stories of that. And interestingly enough, it's not just kids, it's also grown-up people. So often when one part of a couple wants a dog and the other one doesn't, it's because part that doesn't has had a bad experience as a kid, and then after they start boring a dog, like that fear disappears, which is really lovely.
Do you ever get challenged from people? Let me explain where I'm coming with this. So I remember publishing a piece a while ago with my previous dog about dog sharing and how I thought it was a really great setup, especially for myself who worked away a lot. And so essentially, you know, you kind of halve responsibility but double the joy because you've got, you know, two households under the dog. And I remember being kind of challenged by a few kind of behaviorists and dog people who said that could be quite confusing for the dog, and actually dogs should have complete consistency. Now I knew that my dog Jolly was the happiest dog alive and loved helping her two houses, but do you ever get challenged from people saying that this could potentially be confusing with dogs being passed around quite a lot?
So when we started out, we did get challenged, but not at all anymore. And it was everything from the dog charities to kind of other individuals in the pet space. I think the moment they started using borrow my doggy and they understood the concept, as in it's not about handing your dog over to strangers, it's about meet and greet, getting to know somebody well. I said, just like you would do with a dog sitter or, a childminder, for instance. So, you know, our children, I mean, I have a little son and, you know, he needs to go and meet other people. It's great. He goes, goes and plays with his friends. And I have various different people who like help take care of him once in a while. So I think it's all about building relationships to people around your house. And I think also now even the dog charities, they really like the fact that a lot of people borrow dogs before they get one. So they understand what they get into so that you don't end up having all these dogs getting given up afterwards. Likewise, there's a lot of people who would love to keep their dog and who are going through difficult periods, and now they're getting help and they can actually keep their dog. That means everything to them. So I think, again, it's just really about remembering this is not about handing a dog over to a stranger. It's about getting to know someone. And the dogs, we get a lot of feedback. So talking about stories before, one of the kind of specific story in this was very early days. I think we were maybe a year and a half in, and we got a story from somebody saying, oh, I'm so happy I've signed up to borrow my dog. It's the best thing I've ever done for my dog. She's like, I'm a freelancer. I can be with my dog all the time, but my dog is so much happier. And I called her up and I said, I'd love to hear some more. And what she said was, she's like, I used to sit and work all day. My dog is lying next to me. My dog was utterly bored. She said, now my dog has a few friends around the house. And every single time the doorbell rings, my dog gets so excited because it thinks it's for the dog. And she's like, it goes to new places, plays new games. She's like, it's just so much happier, more socialized. And she said, even now, she's like, I have a summer party where I bring my friends and then my dog's friends. And everyone gets together. She's like, it's turned into a whole community built about my dog. So I would say, yes, very early stages. But now once people actually understand how it works, like, no, not anymore.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I sometimes walk Rodney in the big park near me, Crystal Palace Park, which is a lovely park. But obviously some of Rodney's other borrow my doggies, the borrowers walk him there as well. So people often see him first, and I can see that he's got all these friends and all these other dogs that he knows. And people are like, oh, it's Rodney. And then they look up at me and go, oh, yeah. Sort of thing. And I'm like, oh, I'm Paul. I actually am Rodney's actual dad. But it's quite interesting. And people are like, oh, yeah, we was playing yesterday with him. And it's got his own little life and his own friends. It's lovely.
You get that dog owners then, because, people walk up because they know your dog now. And it's like the friends of Boris. And then you end up getting to know them too. So yeah. It actually extends your network too, which is really lovely.
The only time that it was quite funny, me and my partner were walking Rodney in the woods near us again, and one of the borrowers met us. She was on the way to work and said, oh, hi Rodney, and he was kind of jumping all over and very excited to see her. And then she walks off one way and he follows her. Like, no. And so we said, oh, you're gonna have to take him to work as a joke. And she went, oh yeah, that's fine. I was like, no. Not today. But he was very happy, to go with her. And there was a little bit of my heart going, oh no.
It's the same when you have a child, right? Yeah. It's just like, we have like one minder that actually, even when he's with my sister, and like literally he doesn't even turn back and says goodbye to me. He just wants to be with her, and I am so happy that he likes to be with other people, because it's good for him, it's good for us. And I mean, it would not be great if your dog or a child wouldn't be happy with others. It's just part of life. So yeah.
And I think, when we look at some of the behavioural issues that have come out of the pandemic, and some of the most predominant ones, which are things like, separation anxiety and, reactivity with people and other dogs. I have none of that with Rodney at all. He is I'm quite happy to be left on his own, quite happy to go with other people, and quite happy to, you know, to interact on that respect. The only bit that I have to be, you know, very mindful of is that he is so friendly that he would, I think, go with anybody. So I have to make sure that, you know, wherever he is and who he's with, but that's all about the trust, isn't it? And just telling people things like that.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it's like everything else in life, right? You build up relationships to people around you, and then you build trust to them, and then you just agree on what the arrangement is. So absolutely.
So I think this is an absolutely fantastic survey. So thank you for setting it up. It really has saved my life, but also opened up Rodney's world to a whole load of great experiences. And I think for me, the reason I love it is that it really has its foundations and its roots in the community, but around dogs, which I think are sometimes one of the best ways to bring people together. Where do people go to get more information about the service?
So they go to borrowmydoggy.com. Yeah, that's it.
Lovely.
And then if we can ever help with anything, obviously our lovely team are, I would be delighted to help with anything they can. And one last thing, now you mentioned Rodney too. We have a lot of dog owners too who once in a while borrow dogs for their dogs. So they want to socialize their dogs too, as in, but they're like, oh, we might thinking about getting a second dog, or we might, you know, we think it would be funny to have another dog too. So we do have a lot of dog owners too who even not just find borrowers, but sometimes they also borrow dogs for their dogs. So the dog ownership includes a borrower membership too. So I think that's very lovely.
I think that is a great idea. And especially sometimes I have days where I work from home all day, and I sometimes think, wouldn't it be lovely if I had another dog here so Rodney could run around the garden rather than sit and have to wait till my meetings have finished so I can take him out for walks. You've just given me a great idea. I'm going to borrow a dog for Rodney. That's amazing. Thank you so much for joining us in the consult room today.
Thank you so much for inviting me, and have a lovely day.
I personally love Borrow My Doggy. It's such a great service that's got its roots really in the community, but it's also centered around dogs. So I think it's absolutely fantastic. If you want to find out more information or get involved, visit borrowmydoggy.com. And for more great tips on how to take care of your pet on a budget, visit one of my previous episodes, which is Pet Care in a Cost of Living Crisis.
You've been listening to The Consult Room. I really hope you've enjoyed today's show. Please do subscribe, follow, or share this podcast. I'd love to hear your feedback. If you want to get in touch or collaborate, then do reach out to us at theconsultroom.co.uk or connect with me on social media as Dr. Paul the Vet or Dr. Paul Magdalone.